con el medio y las ganas, que me lo entendí, Juan Pablo.
My name is Jesus Adona, A.C. Robert Suleiman, A.C. Robert, okay.
My name is Terry Polsin, I'm a parliamentary official.
I'm Louise Bowley from PNG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much, and thankful for your patience and honor of having introduced myself. My name is Mambuso Mustaman. I joined this department on the 15th of May, and I'm privileged to be appearing before the press. Our presentation today is on the strategic plan for the years 2007-2009-10 financial year. Members will be aware that the ethics intervention team that was invited into form of affairs by the minister, and this team came from the Department of Public Service Administration. So my name is Mabu Sushima, Director General.
My name is Kevin Dabu.
My name is John Carnison. I'm in charge of planning and monitoring and evaluation of office.
Good morning, my name is Riyad Musa. I am the parliamentary support for the Public
Office.
Thank you very much, sir. Our presentation today is on the strategic plan, as indicated earlier, for my time. There are volumes 1 and 2. I hope you can see. If you haven't, we've got an extra copy. Volume 1 is a 3-year plan, 2007 to 2010. And volume 2...
Did you get hard copy or can you get our hard copy?
That will come with time. I'm just introducing this in terms of... Thank you. The change of the presentation consists of two parts. There is a 3-year strategic plan and a presentation on the budget that provides the resources to implement the plan. Then you've got a 3-year strategic plan that is devised annually. There are annual performance plans, and this is always to be considered as a living document that is adjusted as the year progresses. In the case of the Department of Home Affairs, this is a remodeling case and the major turnaround initiative that's getting underway with impact on all aspects of the department, including planning and business. May I say again that members will be aware that the minister has requested support for us. Look at the situation. That result has been the strategic intervention team. Who were responsible for assisting the SARS, South and Revenue Services, and who also needed to turn around some 4 years back. So that's the team that's coming, and in addition, of course, the position of the Director General has been filled. That means that there will be quite some drastic position in the plan that we're presenting today, but they do need to present it for her. And they said to do so in the thing that I'm presenting. But I think we will be coming back in time, in 6 months, if we possibly sensitive about that. The planning normally begins, the planning this time began in 2006 October. And I'm told this was an improvement on the previous year. This year, the planning for 2008-2009 will begin in July. The support intervention was happening while the planning process was underway. And the provisional 3-month report was used to inform planning. This included refining strategic objectives of the department. The support intervention team, that's the one that was mounted by the public service group. They made recommendations which are summarized in 10A of Volume 2, and they will be fully integrated in the turnaround strategic plan. For the presentation of the strategic plan, I'll ask the John Connison. Yes, sir. Do you have enough copies? We will make enough copies.
Thank you, Chair. I think you can all see that presentation clearly, even with the lights on. I'm going to proceed fairly rapidly. If there is something, a question of clarification that really needs answering. Of course, I can stop and my colleagues might can answer that. Otherwise, I'll proceed quite rapidly. Essentially, our planning starts when we look at where Home Affairs is in terms of state of nation address and the national perspective. And it's the Home Affairs featured in the President's State of the Nation address in February 2007. We've highlighted some of the critical things that were mentioned, such as putting a vacant post, improving systems, and implementing the recommendations for task team as the DG has just spoken on. And Home Affairs was highlighted as a critical institution of government. Again, the Minister of Finance in the budget speech same month talked about the turnaround and put the figures to supporting it of 900 million. You can see this under the bold writing. And it's the plan that is being referred to, which will integrate the turnaround strategy into the planning and take into account the plan we're showing today that will result in changes to the plan explained. But the important thing there is that the Treasury is coming to the party. Mentioned 900 million there. You know, there's 600 million allocated in the next 2 financial years. Essentially, without repeating it, there are two volumes. One is a three-year strategic plan, which Treasury, according to Treasury regulations, must be submitted to Parliament along with the budget each year. And that gives high-level objectives per year over 3 years. But also, because we also want to be held to account on a quarterly basis, we have an annual payment plan volume 2, which breaks down this current financial year into quarters with indicators for each milestone. If you look at the third bullet, that's very important, because the way that government planning works is you can link the plan to budget, but link them to the performance contracts of senior managers and performance agreements with other staff, and with quarterly reviews with managers, and then our monitoring evaluation system, which tracks progress on a quarterly basis, SMS, senior management service, the last line there. So all managers from directors up meet once a quarter to review the progress. And that all links to the way the plan is set up this year, so the improvement of our team. Just to show you the levels of planning, if you look at those pyramids there, what we're doing on level one, which is the corporate level, the strategic plan and the annual performance plan is volume 1 and 2. That has to do with the Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and the DG is Deputy Director General, budgeting and planning are at the level of volumes 1 and 2, so to speak. And then the plan gets taken down to Chief Directors and Finance Directors and Deputy Directors. Essentially, objectives have been refined. And the 9 departmental objectives of last year have incorporated, and we find in terms of the number of objectives actually gone up to 5, but they are broader and incorporate some of the concerns of the support intervention team led by Odette Ramaging of the OPSC. And there's 3 levels of objectives. The objectives for the medium-term strategic framework of government, which I'll show you just now, and we've aligned them explicitly to the 5 departments of Home Affairs objectives. And then you'll see as I go through the plan that each branch, that is the large organization within Home Affairs under the DG's branches, and the units attached to the DG's office of the all have their own objectives. This is just how we think we improve the strategic plan by getting advice from the supporting intervention team on the correct planning levels and frameworks. We aligned more explicitly with government objectives. The minister made a decisive input in the first planning workshop on what she put as priority. And what we did this year for the first time, we planned around four business, civic services, NID, National Immigration Bar, first, and then we planned the support for four business later, so to make sure everything that is supported for business. And through this whole extended process, we noticed, my unit noticed, that planning skills are improving among the community in general. This just talks to the support intervention team and steps taken. I won't go through them, to so that managers were alerted to the support intervention report, which came out towards the end of the planning process, and we summarized it for you in volume 2 of Appendix A. Those issues which don't appear explicitly in the plan will be dealt with on a project basis as part of the turnaround process. This is a date for the various people seeing various workshops for strategic planning to show the process. Now I'm getting on to some more substantive issues. On the left, the MTSF means medium-term strategic framework of governance. And in bold, you can see that the critical strategy of governance is improving capacity of the state. Yes, the DHA is responding to that by improving the capacity of the DHA in order to improve the capacity of the state, and it talks to skilled staff, strengthening management and leadership, which is critical and was a key gap noticed by the, found by the supporting community in the strengthening of our leadership. Look at our organizational model, IT, and so on. On the right, it just points to which units in the department have the biggest job in carrying out those particular objectives. That's the first strategic objective of the department. The second, if you look at the, on the left-hand side, the government's strategic priority is nation building, countering corruption, promoting security, including social security. DHA, the way we respond to this national objective is just by improving our core business and making sure everyone, every citizen has access to our enabling documents, and that the National Population Register is accurately reflects who's supposed to be a citizen and the correct age and so on. So we're saying we respond to the national objective of nation building by doing our core business, and obviously this falls mainly on civic service in our biggest branch. The third objective of government is to build the particular element, and I like the word humility, serve with humility and professionalism, where we get service at any of our 400 service delivery points in the world, and therefore the particular service delivery and combating corruption. Mainly service delivery, but also NID and all business units need to align it, and all performance agreements signed by senior managers have a budget failure element. The fourth objective of the DHA talks to ensuring economic growth and development, and mainly this is done through a permitting regime. But also there we've included refugees. This is the main NID objective, the other core business. You see for yourself it's even related to national security, our work at ports of entry, as well as general migration and border control policy. The last is improving South Africa's global relations for development, APRM, African Peer Review Mechanism, KFAM, and the Commonwealth Organization for Strengthening, including civil services in Commonwealth countries and so on. And nationally, FIFA and the 2010 World Cup is our key priority. But we also have a lot of work to do with other countries in terms of permitting regimes, mining, joint agreements with them around visas and so on, and supporting the government of DRC. So there's quite a lot of international work that the department does. GR, by the way, on the right-hand side, is Governance Relations and Chief Directorate in our just to put it in a broader perspective, we're saying the focal points for planning must be improved service delivery, people, organization, IT, systems, public awareness, users, their client must, we must be client-centered, improve financial management, strategic leadership. This came out of the intervention, interacting with the intervention team. We pulled these out as focal points, and all of it is to do with providing enabling documents, our core business. That's the reason we exist, and for citizens and visitors to access benefits and services. I'm getting now into the actual plan, and this is a summary of, if you like, volume one. If you want to see the breakdown for this year, you have to, you know, look at volume two, which is made available to you, and I, with your permission, Chair, I'll go through this quite quickly, just pointing out the highlights. The branch objective there is to issue enabling documents, and, you know, the turnaround times are specified in the estimate of national expenditure. The output is related to this, permanent visas, asylum, refugee certificates, and so on. The next branch objective is obviously to streamline the permits which allow us to get in scarce skills, and those are business and quota work permits. It involves reviewing our transit visa policies, but also very important for security and so on, the airline liaison officers are being recruited now. They will be stationed in key countries abroad so that we don't have airlines from 14 people here who don't have the correct permits. That's the first set of objectives for MIT. The next is the output there is to do with our participation in the BCOB, the Border Control Coordinating Committee, where we sit with the intelligence services, law enforcement, and so on. There are structures under that committee, provincial and attached to large airports and so on. We play quite a key part there. We no longer chair it, the chairmanship passed to the SARS, but we continue to work closely with them in the process of including deportation. That's to prevent things like someone who's awaiting trial being deported. Our branch objective around processing refugees and our processing regime and establishing sort of transit facilities is critical if we want to improve our processing of refugees. That's related to counter xenophobia, which, can I point out, Home Affairs plays an important part, but it must be a national effort at all levels of government. It cannot just be Home Affairs. And then effective law enforcement has to do the applying immigration there. And then if you look at the bottom, it's a line going through, for which I apologize, but the Home Affairs contributes with other agencies to the BCOCC on counterterrorism, human trafficking, which is becoming a very large issue in many countries. Another branch objective is to manage the immigration function of ports of entry, where we share services with SARS and the police. And the SADC protocol is one of the projects we have underway, which will eventually lead to freeing up the movements of people in SADC, and all the countries have ratified that. And by integrating government facilities with other agencies, and also that's the way you can get a one-stop clearing of your visa both ways across two countries. Feasibility study of transit visa. In the government, the international objective, the World Cup dominates is making sure we have the capacity to deliver on what we signed for the World Cup. We have figured that several hundred planes arriving at Owa Tambo Airport in space today. We have to work out on that. We are working on that. Civics, this is our biggest branch. Clearly, right up top is a new passport system because our current machine, literally the machine which print passports in the spacing, top priority. The second one is a much larger issue. That's to manage and maintain the integrity of the national population, is to clean it up. There are duplicates on their parties who fraud and so on. It's a massive job. There are tens of millions of residents. And there are various projects on the way, which will intensify with the seminar. The unique ID number at the top is to do with amending the Identification Act. The old ID numbers, old fashioned, that's built around your date of birth. If there are two John Smiths born on the same day, it causes problems in the system. There is a process on the way to get the act amended to produce a unique number for our IT system to operate and strengthen security. The second objective is again much bigger than the first one. It's got to do with the whole transformation of civics, our very old paper-based system, streamlining, realigning our processes, and improving security features. That's the key element of the turnaround. Thanks for the question, Chair. It's National Population Register. If you like, Home Affairs is the custodian of the database of all citizens and people who are now to have residence in South Africa. Yes, no, I'll try and spell out the acronyms to the, you know, there are many of them and it's quite, but I must spell them out if I'm doing it quite right, thank you. No, I know acronyms are inexcusable, thanks, Chair. All right. The branch objective here is at the top, ENE is Estimate of National Expenditure, which is allocation to Home Affairs and what we're going to deliver for it. Put out by Treasury, and there it's specified how many days it will take to issue passports and so on. We committed ourselves there, and now we have to achieve those standards. And you can see for the different documents what the standards are. I'll just spell out the HANIS, it's Home Affairs National Identification System, and APIS is the automated fingerprint identification system. This is where we're scanning 23 million records of people's fingerprints, so that if you put your finger in a machine, documents will pop up on the screen. This is a huge advance, but after scanning and continuing to scan a new document that arrives, we must have the system being actually used for various purposes. The track and trace system you see at the bottom has been used. We've implemented a phase one for use as a management service, so we know where our IDs are, but within the next few months, with part of the turnaround process, it will be announced, as I say, in a few months' time, that anyone can phone up and find out exactly where their ID is. There's a link to an SMS telling you your ID you need to collect. So this is a very important project, but it's being rolled out. Implement integrated systems is a broad objective. Management information systems plan is being reviewed as part of the turnaround. If you look in the brackets in the first box on the right, second box, we talk about linking MPCC. They are now called two strong centers. That's the word is obsolete. The Department of Communications renamed a multi-purpose community center, two strong centers. But we also have over 100 hospitals linked to our system, so births and deaths are very quickly registered. Municipalities have some facilities where we have offices. So, we're looking at how we connect all the places. The second thing is to make our network fully functional, from computer network, which has problems. And IDMS, some of it known as EDMS, is Integrated Electronic Document Management System. This is where we trace, we have all our documents immediately into the computer system, not piled up on paper. And those documents which are on paper are properly indexed and tracked in the system. So for improving our system in the longer term, we have to put in place this kind of modern document management system. The access to information for capacitating staff, this is all, by the way, on the information services, which is a support to all this. A very key support in Home Affairs, and they're saying that to manage Home Affairs is a complex department, staff need access to information and also knowledge of best practice, knowledge of processes and so on. Finance, supply chain management, this is the CFO's domain. He's sitting here with us, Mr. Kambule. Sometimes we forget it's his real name, we just call him CFO. But essentially, to capacitate his branch and develop finance and skills level, which is very important, especially in provinces, and effective financial management, customer coverage, sustainable, and also he's responsible for infrastructure. So he's working with a planning unit in terms of expanding our offices according to needs identified. Those acronyms at the bottom is CSIR, which is Scientific Industrial Research, that's basically the research hub of government, the scientific hub of government, and they did a survey of where we could place offices to help be closer to communities. And the agents of the Human Science Research Council, and they did a survey of what communities in South Africa lack which documents. So they say Western Cape lacks certain documents, the Eastern Cape lacks certain certificates in Kambule and so on. So we've done surveys to establish where we again, finance and supply chain management to strengthen their systems by developing SOPs, standard operating procedures, so when a clerk certain standard procedures are followed so that they cut down on the fraud and mistakes and develop efficiencies. And by the last two lines there, improved and sustaining the governmental stakeholder relationships with the Auditor General, the Accountant General, the Treasury, and other stakeholders, clearly talking about service level agreements in the post office and so on. So this talks to getting those relationships right because we depend on employment. This is my own unit, planning, clearly. We're working on organizational structures and models as part of the turnaround. And if you look at the bottom one, we're putting in place an improved system for monitoring and evaluating all these projects and programs. Corporate services mainly consists of two elements, HR and legal services. And the HR, there's a broad HR plan to improve the running of HR, that's HR infrastructure, policies, procedures, and so on. And that PMDS is spelled out, Performance Management Development System. Without proper performance management, your staff are not going to perform effectively. That includes accountability and a development dimension. And then at the bottom, very important, the strength and leadership in the department. Again, integrated HR strategy, sound labor practice, implement gender, mainstream gender and transformation, because without attending to gender issues, you will not transform the department. And that's the thrust behind the gender and equity policy. Mainstream meaning that in each business unit, they will make it, put it at the center of their HR strategy. The last is the legal support service, which is sitting in corporate services, and really very much work on our legislative framework. I'm going to say that it's perhaps the most complex legislative framework of any department. There are many acts mandating us to do all kinds of things, and we need reviewing, amending, aligning, and so on, not least to the Constitution. Service delivery is where you, which relates most closely to this committee. It is the branch which coordinates in provinces, and I'm going to go a bit more slowly through this. The objective is a turnaround strategy for frontline services, which means, as I say, the 400 or so service delivery points, which range from regional offices with 100 staff to an office on the West Coast open one day a month with 2 o'clock arriving on that day. I mean, there are many varieties of ways we do our services. And essentially, we want to improve those services. So the Bakupere training, it happened at the biggest business unit at head office. 700 staff went through Bakupere training at the ID factory, or Project ID, Victoria, and it's been taken down to the provinces. And the last one is important. That is a commitment to monitoring the quality of how we process birth managers, yes, IDs, and passports, permits. So we will sample, say, take 10 from each office and find out what systematic errors are being on the fingerprint spikes. Are they leaving out critical information? Because a key problem in the service delivery, and I'm afraid, is wrong information being sent to head office, going all the way back to a provincial office and just adding months onto your application. So that's an attempt to deal with that. The next, again, is the same objective. We're talking about the service charter, which will be on the walls of our offices, saying broadly what is our approach to service delivery. Very broad statements of how we can use services, if you like, for this type of statement. And it is, every year we develop something called a service delivery improvement plan. We are now intended to deliver services. There's something called a service to offer public service. And we also have a plan for taking decision making and serve as accountability much lower than it is. So I'm afraid it's too centralized around head office, and this is a devolution plan to take functions closer to the ground. Why are services poor in many instances in provinces? It's because of very poor training of middle managers and even more supervisors. The staff, they are very low level, much too low a level. In fact, we need to increase those levels. So those bullets are very critical. We must get the structure level right in our offices, clearer responsibility reporting lines, but above all, intensive training of middle managers and supervisors. So that's a target there. And then improving access to our accommodation, that falls on the CFO in terms of repair and maintenance program, RAMP, but it also relates to service delivery in terms of defining the standards of our office, staffing norms, standards for the physical appearance of offices, and prioritizing where new offices should come. Also involves service delivery, talking to planning and the CFO. Counter-corruption security, very quickly, is one slide. It's a critical element of the turnaround. We will attack it, the problem through improving our systems, management, and so on. But it also needs other more direct approaches in liaison with the police and NIA and so on, because if there are syndicates involved, there's a strategy and mechanism around that. Governance relations is quite a little known chief director sitting in the chief director in the DG's office that deals with all our foreign missions plus all other government departments through the clusters, which I'm sure you know about, the clusters of departments, and it deals with bilateral cooperation between us and other countries. Clearly, they need to strengthen. They are strengthening the network. Communication. Also critical chief directorate, it must improve internal communication, the top priority, but also with the public and the media. Internal audit, I think, is probably the last unit, business unit, and it acts as both consulting and assurance body. In other words, it works with businesses to improve their systems, but it also checks for compliance and accountability in terms of not just financial systems, but also performance. And that's supposed to be an independent body as a reporting directly and the audit committee. This is simply the last slide to show you the link between the two plans. And I use it as an example to introduce a unique ID number. If you recall, I spoke about the unique ID number in the three-year plan. So that's 2007 to 2010, this current year and the two after years. The measurable output is Identification Act amended to facilitate the introduction of the unique ID number. Now what we do there is we take that down as the main output for the one-year plan, and we break it down per quarter. So an example of that is implementation of CSIR report on generation of unique ID numbers. If you ask the CSIR how we generate these unique numbers, you're going to revisit that report to see how much work you want to implement, make new recommendations, and that must be done in Q2, which is April, May, June, it's July, August, September. Sometime between July and September, that must be achieved. So that's why it's in Q2. So that's how you read the one-year plan. So the one-year plan is taken from the first year of the three-year plan, but broken into master indicators by quarter. I think, like I said, thank you. After listening to that whole story, thank you.
Thank you very much for it. Now we are going to give the opportunity to CFO to bring us through the budget, and there are some of these questions coming in.
My presentation is going to talk about how the strategy as presented by John Carnathan, how it is funded. If normally we go out and we train and thereafter we have less funding. Basically what I'm going to deal with is just an overview of the previous year's budget, which is 2006-07. In terms of its performance, and I'm starting a little bit on the one hour change in terms of the program part of the department. And I will also deal with the budget proposal for 2007 that was approved, the budget approved by the MINCOM fund. That is our research and what has been approved by us. I'll also do an overview of the MCF budget for 3 years, starting from 2007-08. 2009-10. I'll also give you a detailed breakdown of the 7-8 and I will make a comparison of the 2006-7 budget and 2007-8. And I will also give you a breakdown of the budget in terms of the provinces. Yes, I'll In terms of the normal core items that are started to come, 32% of the budget was allocated to compensation of employees, as far as we know. The 3.1 was for social services, and 13.2 was for transfer and payment for capital assets of 1.39. Now, in terms of how we performed expenditure as of 31st of March 2007, the overall performance was 92.6%, which reflects that in administration, we almost put on the spend 99.9%, and in the delivery of services, it was 93.1%, and of the delivery of associated services, was 85.5%. In terms of those standard charts of accounts, compensation of employees was 93%, which is mainly our salary. Goods and services was 99.7%, and financial transactions, which is just a figure that we normally don't buy that for. Transfers and subsidies 99.9%, and payment of capital assets was 74.5%. In terms of the overall, if you look at that, of the underspending, that's 7.38% even underspending, which mainly resulted from savings on compensation of employees who could not see most of the vacancies at the EMR. And also, the project, the major part of that, about 167 million of the 26, is mainly on the IT Smart Start project. We had some savings regarding our repair and maintenance project on public works due to their prolonged process of going out on content. Again, this year we had a problem, unlike the previous year where we managed to spend everything because other people were working. But for 2007, we had challenges. In terms of the 3-year budget, the MTF, the budget that we are presenting now, I just want to indicate that the process started in June last year, where we had a baseline allocation for 6-7 and 2 outer years. This was used as a baseline. Last year when I presented to you, I indicated that we had a budget for 6-7 and the 2 outer years. Now those figures were used as a basis. Then there was a medium-term expenditure committee, budget proposal to normally make to the committee around August. They look at these proposals and they do a recommendation to the ministerial committee on budget, which is the Minicom Pact. And this Minicom Pact will then go through our request of the entire government, central government department, and then make the final allocation. Around November, we got our final allocation. Part of the process of transforming our budget, we were requested to look at our program structure. and therefore we had to change our program structure to be more, you know, informative according to what the requirements of FEDA were. Now, our program structure, we still have three programs, but we had to rearrange our programs in the manner that we had to. For example, the old program structure provided for certain services. For example, if you look at program three, where we had auxiliary and associate services, we had the property management and government motor transport within that program. So our new program structure takes those out, and they are now located in program one, which is administration. And then we remain with what we call transfer to agency, which is mainly purely, your budget is now purely made up of government publication for government, institutional, independent, and commission for program three. Public works and all of those that you move to property management, program one. But also what we've done in program one, we have included all IT projects that are transferred throughout the department. Within program one administration, and only those that relate to the process of electricity and communication, only those IT projects are located in program one. And program two now is made up of provincial coordination services to citizens and immigration services, because this is basically the core function of the department. We have our two main branches and also where services are rendered. If you want to look at the holistic budget of province, you should look at it within program two as a whole. Because those are servicing province in the main. So this is how our new structure is. Now, in terms of our bid to National FEDA, we made an aggressive bid based on the requirements and the change comes from the question. The first three columns, 2007-8-9, refers to the department's request. I'll just go through the bottom line. What you see in terms of the first column, which is policy proposal, is what we as a department, through our minister, put forward to say these are the issues that we actually change the department. And we made our bid on this certain item, integrated HR enhanced transformation of traditional services, healthier things, etc. Our bid came up to 2.4 billion for the first year, in addition to the baseline. And 2008-9, 2.2 billion, and 2009-10, 1.6. Now, what FEDA approved through the MINCOM check and the MINCOM advance process is what you see on the left-hand side, on the first one, I don't know what it is, where we say approved by MINCOM pass, where it is the 3 years. In the first year, 192 million was approved against the 2.4 request. In the second year, 46 million was approved against the 2.2 million. In the third year, 56 million was approved against 1.6 billion. So this is how the picture looks like. Department said we think we will be able to operate if we have this fund, but this is what we received eventually. In addition to what we requested, FEDA normally allocates a budget. As you can see, the first top amount are those that are reflected in the previous slide. 192, the 42, that's what was allocated. But also, over and above that, we were allocated amount for salary adjustment, which is 1 million for the first year, 3 million, and then 11 million for the last year. And also, there was this amount that John has also alluded to, which is meant for turning around this department, which is called the contingency reserve. We were allocated this amount for the two outer years, 300 million, 300 million. This was emanating from the intervention, the intervention that you will need to transform the department based given the findings of the intervention. Also, there was an additional amount allocated to the IEC for the 2 years, 6 million, 6 million, and also the preliminary qualification was also received an additional 11.5 and 12.5. Therefore, bring the total additional allocation to the department to 260 million in the first year, and 417 in the second year, and 380 million in the outside year. So we should now, I'm just summarizing that slide. Baseline, those are the figures that we had when we started planning. The additional allocation is indicated in the middle. And then the total allocation, which brings the department budget in the current financial year to 3.314 billion. In the second year, 4.1, in the second year, last year, 4.3 billion. In terms of the total allocation, normally traders earmark certain amounts. Now, these are the amounts that we are earmarked for element publication board, government printing work, government motor transport, the IEC, and property management. Those are the funds that are earmarked, and they make up for the first year 740 million, which is 22.35 of the entire budget of 3.1. And in the second year, just like that, all those different things. That's one part of the total. The other part relates to funds that are purely earmarked for IT in the total budget, for IT projects. In the first year, the 235.1 million, and in the second year, the 509 million. Last year, 535 million, which makes up 19% in the first year's budget and 12% in the second year and 12.46% in the last year. The third part is funds earmarked for other home affairs activities, other than those IEC and whatever, and also the IT, which is the other portion, 58% that goes to the budget in the first year. Now, in summary, that will be funded in terms of our program. Program 1 receives 1.56 and our core funding receives 63, and then transfers to agencies of 16.2, which makes up the 100%. Now, I'm just there reflecting the percentage increase from the previous financial year, increase of the current financial year compared to the previous financial year. In terms of administration, there's a 19% increase. In terms of civic and immigration services, which is our program too, there's a 12.8% increase compared to last year's budget. And in terms of transfers to agencies, the 38.9% increase. We realize those relate to IEC and as well as the filling publications that shows us the additional amount. So which brings our total budget increase from last year to 18.3%. In terms of the standard chart of account, this is how the budget looks. The 36.5% allocated to compensation of employees and social services is 26.23. Transfers and subsidies is 16.34, and then payment for capital assets is 21.93, which makes up the 100%. The same comparison in terms of the two financial years, we have an increase of about 84.1% in terms of compensation of employees and a decrease of 6.48% in terms of food and services. And an increase of 36.6% in terms of land services and 21% in terms of which brings us to the same 18.7% budget. Now, in terms of how the budget is broken down in terms of spending area. The first column refers to the area. For example, head office, there's an amount of 1.3 billion that is allocated to head office, which makes up 40.4 projects, 14.64 provinces, 36.57 devolution of funds, 3.3 settlement publication, structuring of the facility, government printing as a function of structuring as well. IEP, 14.64, which makes up 100%. This is just but one version. Now, there's another breakdown which analyzes further in terms of sub-progress of the fund. There's a portion that goes to the minister, which is 0.03%, deputy minister 0.02%, management 6.6%, corporate services 4.4%, financial services 9.4%, and information services 11.2%, provincial coordination, this is what goes to the provinces, 26.82%, and services to citizens, this is just your services at head office, 17.16%, immigration 9.04%, and transfers to agents, this is by your IEC and whatever, 2.27%. This is how the budget is in terms of how the budget has been allocated to provinces. This is the analysis. I'm going to be going in part of this. You will realize that the first column is what was allocated last year. Let's take Western Cape as a case. Western Cape was allocated 68.9 million. 2006-07, they spent 69.4 million, 476, and 2017, they spent 100 and something. I don't know whether my slide. Yeah. I will correct that. I think there's something wrong with that. In terms of Northern Cape, for example, 29.4 was allocated, actual expenditure was 90.9. So they moved my slide. The slide has just moved up. 1.1 Can I move to the next? I apologize for this because I checked my slide. I don't know what to do. Can I just get the document that I can take today? I think I have a correct document. One question is asked by editing to this time. Only this last but one thing that is correct. Thank you.
Chairperson on the national population arrangement. I think the department.
Department just went briefly through the thing. But what I want to know is what are the particular problems that we are experiencing to update the national population register? What was the cause to say that some problems should be there, so therefore we don't have proper records and so on? And then my second question relates to birth registration that was proposed. It's meant to make clear that you've got about 140 years now, but it's still in this year. Is the intention of the department to extend it to other hospitals as well? The third feature, I think, on the unique ID numbers that the department wants to implement after dealing with a piece of legislation. Does this mean that all of us in South Africa will eventually have new ID numbers at the end of the day? And then third, importantly, lastly, Chairperson, in terms of the budget, the department made a certain request to carriers. And one might say a fraction of that request was due to the budget. Now, I think one needs to know what was the reason for carriers not to initiate the request of the department, I'm sure they must have been issues, and what effect will that have on the department to carry out these functions? Thank you,
Chairman. Thank you very much,
sir.
I just want to ask you. When you read a media or looking at the TV, the media, the person can use some of the you or she can fly wherever you or she likes. Now, I want to know about this airline life in Portugal. But are they trying to do something to check such problems, and how far, how soon are they going to do that introduction of trying to check the corruption which is occurring in our country? Because I see no reason why one person can use this. Then the department is saying that they are measuring output 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, because all relevant acts in land and realigned. Can they please identify such acts to us and also to know whether they are going to identify for us to be prepared in time? On coming to the budget, you know, I see here that the department has underspent on other items like popular and appreciation. Also like payment for capital assets, you know. To me, underspent and what prompted that, if they can explain to us what prompted that. Also, I'm partly covered by members on my other personal funding on ICT, because I see that there's no additional fund for the ICT in 2009-2010. And my understanding is the national election in 2009, but no MTS additional fund approved by new cost. And my last question is that 0.01% of government printing rights, is it enough? Because to me, this is a major project for the department, because that's where they are printing the IT, that's the people and so forth like that. Is this 0.01% enough of printing rights?
Honorable Lamour,
bottleneck to overcome the challenge of the investment choice in order to improve the service in the community. And then I also might think that the challenge of facing surrounding the quality of services, the challenges that we have in the department. You heard about the plan, it's a wonderful plan, but it is implemented between the request and the challenge. Will this also ensure, if you call your post, will this also ensure that your practice is all up to
standard?
And then my last question is on, you said on page 4, the village domain, site is going to appear at first line workshop. What are the priorities of the minister in this workshop? Can you possibly have a look for it? Can you please say what the priorities now will be? And then I cannot agree with the second meeting also to accommodate people having the same day offer. So surely when I apply and when my chairperson applies, even if we do have the same date of birth and the same name, I'll add better. And that might be a point of consideration when publishing the people with ID, the applicants with ID. I would like to understand saying that the department now takes to complete ID and passport, because we still have so many people complaining that they were able to support their ID and their passport. Is it that people are supporting people in the community? What about the immediate situation where we are? The people cannot get these grounds, the people cannot get these decisions because of the no-banking ID. What priority are being given to all these citizens? Now, and what we can do. And then my last question, the number of people, but my last question will be, I'd like to know the number of refugees or asylum seekers for problems that we can work in to be chosen. And the mobile unit that we put up by the Department of Homelessness, is it still operating? Could you add on to it, especially for the rural and the remote rural communities?
Thank you. Taking all the questions for another member. Then I just get to the quote. Thank you. I think during April and May, there was bulk at the system that the quote. This is in that we show the process, how far the process, and also the ID when we believe. And that my passport in that was the second, because some of the people that are trying to do this more than 45 minutes. Honorable Stefani?
Thank you, Secretary. The most of the question is the I want to know if the person is going to push or apply if specifically for certain decisions, but I do need to have the clear reason together. Another one, there's also a lot of complaints of ideas also about the mobile unit suggestion. I want to ask the person because in this case, I use a decision model to along the places there, the roads, along the town, in this town, not also in the rural area. But I think the intention is to hold them to the rural area to do the service, to look to the work for the rural area. So I want to know for the department, where are they going to intend to hold them to the rural area to do the service? Another thing is about the office. You know, if you are going to the system, it is terrible. The homeless person don't have any office to sell, and there's some houses, so in small towns. So when do you think that we can have the offices in for homeless? Because it's so complicated, and they are so long seats, and it's where they call the homeless community, because people want to be number one in the community, so they do the collection. So I want to know when is the person who thinks to do the office.
Maybe in addition to that, we want to set the way that we're using one. also you can tell us about the development of Salina and the GR jump and that. So that's what we just need for Salina. Honorable Villa Cassis?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think some of my points also have been taken by Lamuna and Kagani, because my point number two is that on the mobile unit. If you could just please tell me the question from the beginning of that, how many mobile units are operating in the rural areas, not in towns and villages, in the rural areas, how many are operating, so that it would be easier for me during my position to then to do the oversight and ascertain what you told us, the mobile units. And then also, there in the allocation of the budget, I don't understand clearly how the criteria you use in allocation, because as far as I know, that was the wrong assignment, that the lack of population. But for this time to think of here, it doesn't exist that. That is the lack of population. I think everything is under. Or is it because of the largest rural area that is not needed or not present? Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks that God has more questions. I want to direct this question to the DG. Unfortunately, that the situation is not so true. Who have been in your position to initiate two questions arising from this financial that you have appointed as a DG. All that's in our strategy. But I don't think it's fair, you know, to direct that question to the DG who was here just that you want to office. However, DG, I want to assume that in terms of your own performance contract, there are certain key strategic priorities that are time bound, you know, to say that within 3 months, based on the overall strategic plan. To say that in 3 months or you know, in 6 months, these are the kind of things that we would have you know, achieved a certain target. And be mindful of that assumption. I want to hear from you whether you can make a commitment to this committee to say in the next 3 months, okay? I'll come back to you and these are the areas that are becoming what you're about in terms of what we have identified as key agents. Your strategic priorities that you think are achievable. Right? I think that is quite fundamental so that it also, you know, preempts us from being reactive as a parliament. We mustn't get you to the media and we call you. You know, that kind of a thing. I think it's quite fundamental. You know? So I would really want to hear from you. And I don't think it's also fair for anybody to prepare what are the issues. I think you are actually part to say these are the issues, blah, blah, blah. National strategic. No, it's significant that within 3 months or so, I can actually come back to the colleges and the body that represents the electorate, you know, and account to say these are the things. You know. That's the first. And you know, I don't have to say why I'm raising this question. I'll tell you why I'm raising this question. Because for me, the turnaround strategy is you know, very complex, you know, and the unfolding within a very fluid and rapidly changing environment. That there and there you have to make some strategic choice and some other options, which is the lack of time in terms of interface between us and yourself, you know? We may actually lose sight of the team development. That's the first point. The second point is around the issue of salary levels of officers of the Department of Home Affairs. When the DG, the former DG was here, some of us were strong to say that look in other countries, Department of Home Affairs, that's really something else. Because of its strategic security and economic you know, location in the scheme of things within government, you cannot just treat it like any other department where everybody has just come in at an entry level of being a clerk. I think you have alluded to that point. You know? And there's a consensus broadly speaking that we need to do something about that, and you have alluded to this, although with no details. I would want to get some more details about how are you going about in terms of addressing the service conditions, you know. Not of personnel in the transformation context, you know, or increase annual increase context, but that's part of the transformation of the Department of Home Affairs. So that is quite important if you want to bring that together. The third question, I want to check what instruments are you applying as a department to make a determination on the allocation of your provincial allocation. You know, I don't want to argue about that, but I can argue only if I know the instruments are you that you are applying. So, you know, this is what are the key instruments that you are employing to determine that number one will get this and three states will get this amount of land. That kind of a thing. I think it's important. It will also help us to go over time. The last question, chapter 7. I want to know whether the Department of Home Affairs is classified as an essential service. Or is it something that as and when situation arises to deal with? I'll tell you why I'm raising this question. Because people who are dealing with our border control, if they can go through a sign, the country can have conflict, you know. There will be no movement outside the country. There will be no movement inside the country. Mom will be like, I don't need to go to London. You know, people are outside. I mean, the interface now. Is there a national, a conscious, a clear national, I mean, conscious position, you know, to deal with that particular problem? Or are we saying, no, let's be complacent and as and when it arises, who will deal with it? No. I think this is, that, for me, that is quite fundamental. Lastly, let me ask a very controversial question. Have we appreciated the degree of the challenges facing home affairs? Not only as a country, but as a continent, in the context of the globalizing market economy, you know, whereby people, unlike before, they are able to move from one point to another. Sports people, business people in the arts and culture, environment, in all spheres of life, they're moving from one point to another. And as a result, potential in that particular environment for criminal syndicates, international criminal syndicates, to take advantage of the environment and do their own thing. Have we appreciated that thing as a country? Have we appreciated that thing as a department? And if so, I mean, how are you communicating that message? You see, because that's the basic thing. The Department of Oversight is not like Department of Public Works, where we measure it on the basis of whether it has completed building a bridge or what. Because the more, even the banking industry accepts capital. That the more they become sophisticated in the IT, the more these criminals become more sophisticated. It becomes a vicious cycle. So now, I want to just test whether there's an appreciation in terms of that particular aspect, particularly in relation to the core function of the Department of Home Affairs. The guilt passport, the guilt citizenship, a lot of things. And those documents, there's an evidence that they are used to commit crimes, Some of the questions that honorable members have asked have actually alluded to this. For instance, people are saying if you just change, can remain Suleiman. But if you can change only two numbers on your ID, you can actually have a new record with a financial institution. I'm making an example. I mean, the minister alluded to this in the last budget vote. Where people, for instance, are running away from their obligation to pay their debt to credit bureaus. They are trying to go to Home Affairs. It doesn't change the name, just change two numbers in the ID, and you are finding else, and you can go and live with a normal life. So, those kind of challenges and issues.
That is prepared and maintained. I don't know.
I don't understand. If it's understanding, then it's from experience. Down there, people are still expecting these things. And then the department also says, maybe you can maybe satisfy us a little bit. Because understanding is understanding. Can't say, why is there and you do the work properly? There was mention of vaccination. Every time I've heard of the master about the vaccination in terms of the main center, but we don't discuss it. Only directly the vaccination is the main center. When we go our position to it, because it's one that says, I've been told to go and look for my husband or my wife, who separated from me for 8 years. When you say who's the person, we don't know. Because they were just wearing the ministry. So we can't do follow up with the public rights to those officers, including gender and school of the world. And also the training of particular consumers. We go to our provinces or regions to go and train in terms of monitoring or visiting practice of particular. The last question, the conditions of the refugee. Whether the department do when check the conditions for this position. Because when we bring a position, we do the report. So the refugee should be there for more than 2 months. And they've been discriminated by the population there. So we're not giving blankets, we're just giving them the report, and the treatment was different from the population. And they were there for more than 2 months. I think the policy says they can be there for 2 months. We do the monitor and check the information. Thank you. Let me give the department a response on the question. PG, your delegation will assist you with the community. And I thank all of you. We are starting with your question. Thank you very much. Over to the department.
Thank you very much. May I request that the question of historical nature be answered by member of the committee, but I'll come up with specific answers to some of the questions.
Thank you. I will make my serious attempt to respond to most of your questions, especially those that are relating to the budget. On the deal with the question of Honorable Sol in terms of the IEP budget not growing, there's a slide that deals with an additional amount that was allocated to the IEP in 2 financial years. 2 million in the first year and 66 in the second year. Those amounts are a special demand to prepare for the election. But all is not lost in terms of the budget process. What the Honorable Member was saying, I think I'm responding to this question also to other members who asked the same question. The MPF budget process is a rolling budget process. The main focus was mainly the 2 outer years, but the third year, the IEC is still going to have the chance to be in the current financial year, the MPF for 8-9. So they will still have an opportunity, but what they have done, what they require for the 2 years, the current financial year and the next financial year, they got the as a change. There was a question in terms of a question from Honorable Suleiman with regard to hospital connectivity, whether we are still going to extend this. The response would be yes, the intention is to extend further this particular service. But it all depends on our negotiations with various institutions, the hospitals, the
clinics and all that, as and when we get access to those in terms of office space, we do connect. But the other issue also is our staff, our availability of staff to deal with the function. We expand everything, we look at all those. But the intention is definitely to spread our strategy as far as possible. Also from Honorable Forum Suleiman, there was a question with regards to the national population register. What was the cause for it to be contaminated, if I can put it this way, if I understood the question. When you say you want to clean up our population, national population register, what was the cause? I think it's a historical cause in terms of the national population register. It's a history which I mean, issues like consolidation between the former states, there's issues of Namibia, some of the cities of Namibia belonging to in our sectors, in our population. There is a number of issues which really are in the pressure that we need to look at our population, like in the south. It's historical, if I may put it that way. The other question was from Honorable Mandala. One person can use three passports, and how is that possible? I don't know in what context. It's fraud in some instances, because the department can only issue one passport. Some of them might be fraudulent. What the department has done, we have created this LIND with officers position, and those have been advertised. So in some of the critical airlines, those officials will start operating soon, as soon as we finalize the recruitment process. As I indicated, posts have already been advertised in this regard. The other question was understanding. I need to say maybe the wrong utilization of term was phrasing. When you say phrasing, you basically understand. The correct term is you understand. The main area of understanding, as we indicated, is in the compensation of employees, as well as the project that could not, the smart item that project that could not comment. These are earmarked funds, we don't normally utilize them for anything. When trade are appropriate, they specifically earmarked them. We understand very well as a department that we could be utilizing those funds for any other person, but does not have the budget. We normally earmarked the budget. The other area of understanding, which is the, as indicated, repair and maintenance project. At the beginning of last year, we submitted our plan to public work, even before the financial year started. Because this repair and maintenance is done through the tendering process of public work, and it is monitored by public work. But it took them very long to finalize this process. In some instances, they would award a tender to a particular company. Just at the stage of the company commencing, the company is down and goes down and it's just the circumstances that led to this process. We cannot blame our colleagues from public work. They attempted to create. In some instances, they would just appoint the company. It would start that way and then stop again. They have to restart the tendering process again. So those were some of the reasons. This is a view. Why is it allocated 0.1% when it's such a crucial component of government in terms of printing? I want to indicate that the government printing works is the trading entity of the Department of Home Affairs. It generates its own revenue and therefore runs out of its own revenue. This amount that is allocated was just meant for its transformation. Honorable members will recall that we are still attempting to convert it to a state-owned entity. And this fund remains to deal with as part of administration. Under normal circumstances, government printing works doesn't get an allocation to government. If you survive the only revenue of the state entity. The deployment of mobile units, in terms of the number per province, since this was a question from Honorable Muda. We currently have deployed 109 mobile units throughout the country. And we, based on our available financial resources, we envisage rolling out another 8. That's how far we can go. And this, the provinces that benefited a lot in terms of mobile units are those bigger provinces. Like, for instance, the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo. Those are the provinces that receive the fair share of mobile units.
Can you maybe check out the breakdown of this provinces?
In terms of the I can get it, I can print it now, I have it. If I can open my desktop, I have it now, I can open it, I can tell you how it is before this, the end of the year.
Because this number,
I There was a question with regards to what sort of criteria do we use to allocate to provinces in terms of our allocation of budget. And a specific question in terms of what we're going to have. If you look at the slide that they said I will amend, I mean, all is not lost, except the budget allocation column of that particular slide. You will see from the allocation that KwaZulu-Natal comes second in terms of budget allocation, second to Gauteng. And they have a budget of 105 million. For 2007-2008, which really indicates that the fair share of our budget allocated to KwaZulu-Natal. But in terms of how we go about allocating this, I understand honorable members are saying that population density in terms of this particular area, there's the size of the province, the number of people. We as a department, most of our budget, as you could see, it's mainly by the budget that funds your staff operations. And mainly our budget is based on the number of offices that we have in that property, the number of staff that we have in that particular office. It might not go along the same way as the geographic location as you see it, like for instance, when you have to South Africa. But mainly our budget is based on the numbers that we have in terms of our staff. And our staff, how do we determine the number of staff per province? There are web study norms that the department applies to determine the number of staff per office. Based on requirements. I've just received a breakdown of mobile units. Of the 109 mobile units, Gauteng has got 9, Free State 10, Northwest, 10, Limpopo, 17, Eastern Cape, 16, KwaZulu-Natal, 16, Mpumalanga, 10, Northern Cape, 11, and Western Cape, 10. That is the breakdown in terms of the mobile deployment. The priority is tabled by the minister.
Mine is a follow-up on the mobile. I think it was great for the breakdown. But I think the breakdown is insufficient because you would say that there was only a half 15. Maybe they are in urban areas still. They are not in the rural remote. So I think we are more interested to know what about this 15 mobile units.
Chairperson, just on the question of where are these mobile units? I think mobile units are moving. They are mobile units. And they are not stationed in a particular province. Yes, they are meant to operate in this rural area. But from time to time, they will move from one area to another. So what will normally happen? You will see them in one rural area, and this week, the other week, and they have a roster. Our provinces our instruction is that they need to come up with a very clear roster that says, and they have to meet with the community, with the CDW. How they deploy mobile units is in collaboration. They don't just decide to have an office. They work with the community, the local authorities.
Thank you very much.
I think we will consider that. I would like to call an invitation, allow other colleagues to assist in some of the areas. I don't think thank you, Chairperson. I indicated, if you look at this slide, the previous slide, that this is the total 3.314 by the department. And then I'm giving a breakdown that the first portion goes to those EMF areas like your IEC, like your Freedom and Publication Board, Motor Transport, Property Management. And the second column, that's the first one in the from here, that's the fund EMF for before that one was here, some said. Another one? Yeah. The first one I indicated that the first portion is allocated to Film and Publication Board, Government Printing Works and Government Motor Transport. And that is the 22% of the budget in the first year. The next one is fund can go to the next slide, which is fund earmarked for IT. For IT related projects. Now other is any other expenditure that is not related to the two that I've mentioned is the core services of the department. Okay. Is anything that is not IT and that is not all those stuff paid. Okay. There was a question with regards to how do we have as a department a situation? I think it was a question from Honorable John that people applying twice for the same ID and they don't collect them. We are dealing with that. I think in the presentation, Dr. Kamitan alluded to the track and trace system. The track and trace system is meant to track where your application is in the process. But it's also meant to immediately at the point if a person has applied for an ID and is coming to apply for the second time, we can be in a position to track if there was an application that was made before. To say, but you have already applied your ID is in this process whatever ahead of you. So this system is also going to assist us. It has always been our progress that the people can just apply and the reason why IDs are not collected. And in an effort to remove those IDs from our head, the previous financial year we've been utilizing the post office to go from door to door and deliver those IDs. And we asked it to use that mechanism to check. And in instances, even that system, in instances where a person comes to our office and says, we can just from our system click and say, but your ID is in this particular office or is that the post office. We can with our system now in with the problem of duplicate application.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think one of my questions was to request that the department like to and what was eventually an offensive to them. I don't think it's we have the response to that one. And then the unique ID when we reach that stage, then we mean that all of us will have new ID numbers in the country.
The request for additional funding was meant, like I said, to improve service delivery of the department. Most of the items that we requested are mainly IT-related systems that will ensure that the department's service delivery is improved. But the reason that we provided, and we also requested huge funds for our office infrastructure to improve our office in terms of safety. The argument or the reason that we advanced for
from Trader is the number of prisons in terms of scarce resources. Especially in the area of infrastructure, they are indicating all that. There's an urgent need to look at 2010 in terms of infrastructure of government. And most of the funds we are looking at towards accelerating the process of fixing the state here, upgrading our infrastructure. In terms of IT projects, it's not like they were saying, look, we don't want to finance those. They were just saying, you can come up with this in the coming 5 years. We will see how far we can do that. But it's all in the economy of scarce resources. It's not that the department won't be able to operate, but it won't be able to operate up to a maximum level by not being allocated this fund. But I mean the bare minimum that has been allocated to the department to the department can actually allocate. It's not like all is lost. But this could have made the department more efficient as the fund has been allocated.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Chair. On your last point, can you also tell us about the situation of for unemployed children? The situation is financed in the field. And can you get over for all the departments? How is it going to be covered by the region?
It's a running project. Because we didn't want to call the COVID. Because from our department, I think we were there. First department to come up with the intensive, and we've achieved a lot in as far as some of the our programs of the intensive have been developed by employing within those that we've taken through the intensive. And this year, once more, we have advertised intensive and internship. We're in the process of moving forward. Some are still in the process, I think, in August, to see some of them finishing their intensive. So the fact that we just didn't want to point was that so this is something that is under control.
Not that it's not boring, I mean for us, and for job creation is a sharing for the bonus.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sympathized with the frustration and understand also the skepticism that members have around the issue of turnaround. So I was hoping that they might even find another word. But it remains the only thing we can talk about. Either right or wrong. And if it isn't right and I say it's wrong, it gets very boring. Keep on, as I say, on correction. But the fact of the matter is, we do have a current situation that needs to be changed. You see that everywhere. You see that in the queues that come up when people apply for ID. The situation around asylum seekers. You see that in the corruption that is reported all over. You see it's an arrogance from our people. So these things exist and one cannot act on them. It's not easy to talk about them. In fact, it's a challenge. One talks about it today, and if it continues in 6 months and 12 and 3 years, I will still say we have a problem with corruption. So that's why the situation has to be kept at some point. It's a disgrace for our country. So how are we going to do it? I think the question is every year turning around. So I don't know it best, but I think the decision that we all need to do. On the issue of corruption, of course, we need to be clever in many ways so that we can be able to get to the corrupt people. Those are obviously corrupt, we must deal with very ruthlessly. And we all need to put in a place like that. Inter instances are very cunning. We will need to use technology in order to try and prevent maybe more realistically to minimize the corruption that takes place. We are very clever, usually one step ahead of all of us. But we do need to use technology. What I found is almost that technology is very strong. And that is why the persons are to corrupt and get all these passports they can. And use the ID. In fact, the ID is a lot more important than the passport. Once you have that, you have access to social development, social grants, you have access to education, to health, to others, to civil instruments and values. You also have access to money that you rob from banks because you have your own ID. That is not a true one. Not that homosexual people collude with those things. We would have a problem. So we need to deal with that. It can't be technology alone, but it's deploying that, trying to make sure that we get committed people's work in the department. It's not something we have enough. You know, the most difficult thing in any organization is when you interview people. They know how to put the best foot forward. And unless you know them, you can't know the people in the system. With all the strategies that people use, you still get the people's interest. So we need to strengthen along a number of lines. I think the services. We will need to deploy people with a passion for their work. They can't cover it. We have a few people who are from the opportunity to do the things they know how to do, recognize them, and give them credit for that, and that boost their morale, etc. So, yes, it has to generalize because it's not right. When do you get to know about that? And that's the question that was asked. And I hope we can, within 6 months, be able to come back to honorable members here and say what plans we're going to implement for the balance of the financial year to start to address some of the problems that we have. Why 6 months? I think there is a clear understanding, and I hope one is not misunderstood here, that we lack capacity in the department to do some of this. And in some instances, we'll need to import this capacity. I don't mean from Britain, but from most of South Africa, from outside of the department, to deal with these things. So, we have a group of consultants who are assisting with, I think, developing efficient and proven methods doing some benchmarks against countries where they work to assist management with coming up with a proper management, with proper management strategy. That will help the organization to do better than what it's doing now. So some of this will take time. Personally, I'm in a contract for 3 years. I committed to the question that was asked to help together with others to change these things, which everybody accepts not acceptable. There was a question about vacant posts. You know, there are very many. I saw also, I think, about 3 pages or more in the Sunday Times of the week ago. I think at a certain time when the minister was not quite comfortable that the high super would be an appointed student position. She had ascended appointment to 13 levels. I don't know if she was alive for long, I don't know, but she was very concerned that the caliber of teaching was destroyed, was not necessarily going to be suitable for the needs of the department. I think that in my attention, despite the difficulties that that may cause, perhaps whether or not we have anybody there, perhaps somebody who's going to submit to us. There were issues of job evaluation. That has not been done by the department for some time, or so it's been done now. There are lots of good people in the department. These are all things that contribute to the high percentage of vacancies. I think if we succeed in restoring confidence and credibility within the department, some of these things will need to come down. So one would like to, the minister has listed the restriction for some of these promotions, which is well. And some of the people had, a lot of people had been interviewed, but we have the need to be appointed. It will take a team of people to process this. And one hopes it can be done very quickly, so that one would ask them to put the case on the leader, it's better to finish with the right people than to have finished with people who will need to remove after a while. Because those who don't function will be removed. So let me explain that it's not very satisfactory, but I think the history of the high level job of the unfilled vacancies has to do with the method, the thing that I just mentioned. The minister's priorities are, of course, to help the Jews, hopefully, completely eliminate corruption in the department in a specified period of time. I don't think it will be done overnight, but I think there will be a reduction, which should be significant. I know the minister is looking to inaugurating the new passport. I think there's been talk about that. We'll have to see what the timeline is for that. She wishes also for the Department of Home Affairs to have the capacity to have the country host the 27th. So much in on the function of Home Affairs in this regard. I think those are some of the priorities, but you could ask the guy, I think this is what you would instruct us to do in the department, and it would certainly be also into the strategy. Now, that idea, that is unique.
I think it's important. We have to have corruption is happening specifically because it's so easy to support. I think we must come to a time in the next 3 or 2 years, we will come back and report when we can develop an identification system that really is the chances of corruption. You may have heard of things called MATA. I don't know how long it's going to take to get that bank, cash bank, for instance, to save that department. The unique identity says that no one could go and purchase an ID card, for instance. Anybody who purchases an ID can only do one thing. So where today was ID that you can't account for, if you manage the system in such a way that you can't find that process of the ID, can only be one. The unique identity doesn't allow any other person to do it, to override. Then you will know that if that person was asked to put some kind of ID, and you only find 30 that person will need to put it in the right.
also fix this crisis with me and I think the whole nation is going to be able to do that. We must get to that stage. I have so much time to handle my issues to be able to handle this. So, this is very important. I've been talking about 2010 or so. You have the whole world converging on our country. You need to be able to profit those things by having some electronic devices. Technology alone, of course, is never enough, but it is a huge advantage. So maybe we need to do that. The only problem is that there's so many people holding ideas. You should not be having ideas. So we have to go to maybe honorable members, we need to assist us when we introduce new documentation. Because we must need to use more spending. You can convert people with ideas into the system. So we need to clean it up, maybe by asking more detailed questions than we ask today, where is it going for the purpose of the travel with these people. And they can't keep a feeling of our language. We have to ask the maybe the second question that we also have to ask for the human rights issue is very important, but I think it's not worth it. That's my issue, the Philippine for the nation. So I think that's where we're coming from when we talk about the unique identification. The birth certificates in hospitals, that program needs to be changed. Not only is it convenient for our mother to have an impenetrable, but it also assists to the fight against fraud. Because if there is a murder, if there is a possibility, they don't want it. And they are here, and we can have a so I think a remarkable part of home affairs is moving clinics to a city, wherever. All of that, so the speed with which we do it is going to be the function of much funding there. Someone who is in the National Treasury, I think they will feel confident that it's going to happen. But also, I think that to quickly refer to a question of understanding and so on, I think that we should have a certain field of fun, because they know that at the end of the day, it's a certain fun. So that's hardly what to say. I'm saying this thing loud enough, but I think it's asking these questions of this, those are realities that we need to address, we have to understand. So there are specific questions around my own unit. Contract? Okay. I'll stop if I have a question. I think the questions were my performance contract. I think we must, we will. Come up with benchmarks that will be announced to the public, in which we will say how long it will take. We need to position ourselves so that we can say that. We didn't talk about it, but I think to do it requires a sense of being second to good people, good system, the right machines and so on. I think right now, I don't know, it takes you too much luck. It's not acceptable. one of the quick things that must be done without looking at all these complicated things is to see how we can clear the backlog of things ask for project realization. I think that we can say quick win about this before that by next year they should be able to see how we can get the performance better. Let's go in there and so we can resolve that matter. And it's not really good to make promises and not found the promise.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I just need to indicate, I think the current delay is mainly our passport system is old. And I've indicated in one of the presentations that some additional funds that we received relate to upgrading of the passport system. I think 150 million have been allocated to the department. So we are looking at coming up with a new passport system that is going to improve the turnaround time. But our current target is that our system is old. That's why we have this backlog. We have given the promise of a number of weeks, but we face to be submitted for promise because of the excess.
I've been taking on my time of 10 minutes. I need to there was a question that I got before it comes from my contractor. About immigration, whether we regard immigration as an essential service, Department of Home Affairs,
yes,
indeed it is. We applied and told, and the hearing was going to be on the 26th, but we did also to have immigration officers classified as an essential service because they really are. No one is allowed to leave the country to the country without having proper protection. And they try effectively to prevent it back from including those things here. I would like to say that we did put in an application and the current gen interest that was issued by the court case preventing people from trying to I think some of them. I want to talk about mobile units. This, that the project that God requires to be reviewed. Well, Minister Zoras Australia did say some very nice things about how they can collaborate with Home Affairs in Australia. I don't remember where they were able to keep ground because Home Affairs people are there. This is good news. Project as a whole is not good. She's made I think when you ask where these mobile units are, our respectful answer to you is that you don't know. You can't say what you are not by. I think we must move to us to find where suddenly when we're talking to people, we want to find where we go. And then they are in the rules of the new country. And that's not happening. So, the honourable member, in time, he wants to know what my contract is. My contract is in time to certain deliverables. I tend to look at them and do them. So my contract, they hired me and said that they would pay me money and bonuses if I deliver certain things. We will come up with those targets once we've done the things with the phone. I would hope that really that in the next 3 or 4 months we can do that. But they must include improvements in services. So I think we ought to be able to say maybe corruption has come down by so much. We need the benchmark first. I think we will make those contract conditions public. And they will have to do something that we can measure, whether you work for Home Affairs or not, about where we are relative to where we were. There are those years of office. And they will have to do with trying to reduce corruption, improve efficiency, reduce arrogance, and all of those. We can actually be able to measure. And that's the commitment. The salary level of the Home Affairs officials, all of this is determined really by public service and administration. We are not special, but I did ask that for this turnaround, we should be able to give to get at least some of the top people who will move this thing to be paid salaries at market rate. If it means going outside to get the funds for you, we will do that. But we're not like succeed really. We're trying to remove people from some departments to very few people who want to go to home for them on the same salary that they are in, but you know, more comfortably elsewhere. And of course we do have some in the department working harder than they've been in the past. They've done in the past, you know. I think I've answered most of the issues that we've done, the central service thing. In a globalizing environment. That's why I was referring to our ability to achieve the many people who will come for 2010 World Cup, but also to be able to detect the many people who trade in human beings and similar institutions in advance. You can only do that if you have an efficient and productive system. And you always like more. So I think we are acutely aware of those challenges. I think there would be money to use that to join and other resources. I'm told by the representative here, John, that I think it's 600 million. I think it's 600 million that can be available by local treasury over the next 3 years to assist Home Affairs Canada. I think it will succeed in final return. I think we will succeed if we really regard this as a national project rather than as a Home Affairs project. I really want to plead with all parties. They mustn't use Home Affairs as a simple kicker either. Or some other thing like that. We experience those kinds of things. It is really the project that people in all walks of life in our profession assist, either by exposing collection of the city, telling us who is not working or who is passing cars along the road, but will open up the market and be accepted to the end of the country. Thank you very much. Thank you.
we are having a minute of education, and so all of you. The meeting will be resumed tomorrow. You see the invitation, I see. For just 15 minutes, I've presented the organization that invited us for the
we didn't hear an answer.